Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. The Thursday class, April 20th, 2023, 1 John.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. In preparation to worship our Lord this evening, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have magnified your word over all of your name. And therefore, the word of God is more important than the very air that we breathe. And as we assemble this evening to fellowship in the word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. 1 John 3, let's start at verse 19. 1 John 3:19. And so, by means of this impersonal love for all, we shall know that we are of the truth, and we shall have confidence in our hearts before Him, God the Father. Verse 20, because if our heart condemns us, which means we're out of fellowship with God, we're living in the cosmic system, maybe it does, maybe it doesn't, bear in mind that God is greater than our heart. In fact, He has always known all things. Verse 21. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, that is, we are in fellowship with God, living the spiritual life, we keep on having confidence before God. Verse 22. And whatever we ask in prayer, we receive from Him, God the Father, because, now this because is very, very important. It establishes two conditions. You see, just think if all we had here was, and whatever we ask in prayer, we receive from Him. What do you want? What do you want? You want a bazillion dollars? It won't make you happy, but is that what you want? What do you, prayer is a fantastic, it's a mandate from God for all of us. We are commanded by God to have habitual and consistent prayer life, day after day after day after day. But a right thing must be done in a right way to be right. You can pray, that's a right thing. But if you're not doing it the right way, it's wrong. It goes nowhere. And we got 90-some-odd% Christians praying, and their prayers go nowhere, no, not even past the ceiling. Because they're doing a right thing, but they're doing it in a wrong way. And it's wrong. And God says, no, God won't answer it. So prayer, yes, it's prayer is fantastic. We're mandated to pray. There is so much involved in prayer and power involved in prayer that to understand that doctrine is absolutely critical. So we have condition one. Whatever we ask in prayer, we receive from Him, God the Father, because first, we continually obey His mandates, His commands. The mandates of God all throughout His Word. We obey His mandates. Like the mandate to keep on being filled with the Spirit. If you don't obey that mandate, your prayers will never be answered. Because you must pray by the agency and the power of God the Holy Spirit, or your prayers go nowhere. And most Christians don't even understand spirituality. Spirituality is the filling of the Spirit. And that when you sin, you lose the filling of the Spirit, and therefore you have no spiritual life, and your prayers are worthless. They go nowhere. You don't even know, they think that they're, by trying to follow the Ten Commandments and things like this from the Old Testament, that means they're spiritual. No, you're only spiritual if you're filled with the Spirit. If you're not filled with the Spirit, you're not spiritual. And I don't care what you do by way of prayer or whatever you do by way of anything. Nothing. You have no spiritual life. No spiritual life, your prayers are worthless. So the command to keep on being filled with the Spirit, the command to keep on walking by the agency of the Spirit so that you will not carry out the lust patterns of the sin nature, the command to stop grieving the Spirit, the command to stop quenching the Spirit, the command to grow up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. All of these are the mandates of the Word. If you're not following those, forget about your prayer. You might as well just chuck it. Chuck it into the cheap seats. Forget it. Don't even pray. You're wasting your time. Here's the first condition. Because we continually obey His mandates, His commands. Then condition number two. And we keep on doing the things that are pleasing in His sight. Well, we spent a couple of classes going through what is pleasing to the Lord. There are the two major conditions about prayer. A right thing, prayer, and it's the right thing, must be done in a right way to be right. Now, I have taught the doctrine of prayer several times. In fact, I set that as a, before God ever brought me here to Las Vegas and gave me a flock of His sheep, I made up my mind way back at Dallas Seminary that I was going to study and know the doctrine of prayer inside and out. And I was going to teach it. And teach it. And teach it. And repetition is extremely important. Now I'm going to say something, and I'm not the one who said this. First time I heard this, this isn't something I came up with. I am not teaching you so that you will remember it. I'm teaching you so you will never forget it. I didn't come up with that. No, it was one of the greatest prayer warriors that I have ever had the privilege of meeting. It was a lady, by the way, also the most beautiful woman I have ever known. She was all crippled up in a wheelchair. A crippled up in old age in a wheelchair. She had 11 terminal illnesses. And she was the most beautiful woman I have ever seen because of what she had in her soul. And I knew the people that were responsible for picking her up, getting her to Baraka. And she was at class every single night. Every single night. Every night Bob taught. She was there. And I knew the people that were responsible for picking her up. And they would get her, bring her out of, she had a ramp up from her house, brought her down the ramp in her wheelchair into the car, and they brought her to Baraka, and then they would wheel her right down, right in front of the colonel, set up blocks under the wheels so she didn't run into the pulpit, right in front of him. And she was there every single night. Every single night. And if they didn't pick her up, one time it was raining, cats and dogs. Have you ever been in Houston? People die when it rains in Houston. It comes down, cats and dogs, and they have holes in the ground to take the water. Holes with no covers. So it rains, and people get washed down the hole, and they're gone. They're dead. So it rains in Houston, people die. Well, it was raining cats and dogs. And the fella who was supposed to pick her up thought, well, she won't be wanting to come to class tonight. So he didn't pick her up. When he got home, she called him, and she gave him what for? Up one side, down the other. You don't ever not pick me up. You pick me up. So I need to be in Bible class. The colonel needs me there. I'm his prayer warrior. He needs me there. And he said, well, I thought it was raining too hard. She said, I don't care how hard it's raining. I'll pray and God will stop the rain. So the next time it was raining cats and dogs, he says it was raining so hard all the way to, there were some railroad tracks. And then as soon as he got over the railroad tracks about two blocks from her house, the rain stopped. He picked her up, put her in the car. He says, you are exactly... I said, well, yeah, it's just rain. I prayed to God for him to stop the rain. He stopped the rain because he wants me to be in Bible class. Now, here's a gal with 11 terminal illnesses in a wheelchair, all crippled up. And she is in class every night, night after night after night. You know, I have people here that are perfectly healthy, and they can't be here. Perfectly healthy, and they can't. She is there night after night after night. And when I got to meet her that first time, I was introduced to her. This is Dick Olson. Dick Olson, you're one of my boys. I said, ma'am, you're one of my boys. You're on the prayer list. I pray for you every single day. She does. She did. She prayed for everybody on that prayer list. Every person on that day. She prayed for them day and night. Every single day. The greatest prayer warrior I have ever known was May Walker. And as we were having dinner, it was... like I said, I was just overwhelmed at how beautiful this lady was. And she says, you know, Dick, she says, I hear people at Baraka complain about the colonel. These are people at Baraka complaining about the colonel because he repeats too much.
He's doing exactly what he's supposed to do. He's not teaching us so we'll remember it. He's teaching us so we'll never forget it.
So you see, I learned this from May Walker. I said, ma'am, you are exactly right. And this gal, when she prayed, well, I heard one person say she nailed demons to the wall every time she prayed. Now, I've taught prayer several times. It is a very, very important doctrine. I'm going to repeat it because I'm not teaching you so you remember it. I'm teaching you so you'll never forget it. And sometimes you get very sloppy. Very sloppy. You think you know everything. You've heard everything. You know everything. And you get very sloppy in your spiritual life. So, the doctrine of prayer. Point one is definition and description. What is prayer? Prayer is the believer's communication with the living and true God. And the living and true God wants you to communicate with Him. God communicates to us through His Word. We communicate with God through prayer. It may be silent prayer, which is thinking in your heart, it may be verbal prayer out loud. It may be prayer that's accomplished alone, private prayer, or it may be prayer combined with others in groups. Point two is etymology, and there's several words that is used for the doctrine of prayer. The Hebrew word tefillah. T-E-P-H-I-L-L-A-H. See that doggish right there? That's a double L. Tefillah. Tefillah is a word that's translated prayer. It comes from the verb palal, which means to intervene, to interpose, to mediate. It means to intercede on behalf of someone, intercede on behalf of others or yourself. So tefillah includes intercessory prayer for others, and it also includes personal petitions. And then we have several Greek words, such as proselke, proseuche. Proselke. Proselke refers to a general word for prayer. And then there's another one, deesis. D-E-long-E-S-I-S, deesis. And this is entreaties, specific requests in prayer. And then there is entelxis. E-N-T-E-U-K-S-I-S, entelxis. Entelxis means petition or request. It comes from the verb entuncano. Entuncano means to draw close to someone, to enter into communion with God. When the believer has personal love for God the Father, he has a title, philos tou theou, the friend of God. Thus, entelexis implies free, familiar prayer that boldly draws near to God. The fundamental idea of entelexis, then, is freedom and boldness. Freedom and boldness of access because of your personal love for God the Father. You see, when you have virtue love brought to completion in your heart, the first thing you have is that great motivational virtue, personal love for God the Father. Who do you pray to when you pray? To the Father. All prayers are to the Father. What motivates you to pray to the Father? Your personal love for God the Father. Because you have personal love for God the Father, you're motivated. You want to pray. Nothing can keep you from praying. Habitually, consistently, day after day after day after day. Personal love for God the Father as a spiritually mature believer. And then there is Eucharistia. 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 This is thanksgiving in prayer, gratitude in prayer. This is prayer that is based on grace orientation. You see, we have a mandate, one of the mandates, 1 John 3:22, if we continually obey His mandates. What is one of those mandates? 2 Peter 3:18, grow up spiritually in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In other words, you grow up in grace orientation and doctrinal orientation. And Eucharistia is prayer that is based on grace orientation. Because you have fulfilled the mandate to grow up in grace orientation. 2 Peter 3:18. And then we have Itema. A-I-T-long-E-M-A. Itema. Itema means request. Petition. The believer's prayer, proselke, is often made up of many requests, many petitions, many itemata. This is all part of etymology. Then point three. There are three categories of prayer received by God the Father. Three categories of prayer received. Prayer from God the Son, prayer from God the Holy Spirit, prayer from the royal family of God, believers. Prayer from God the Son. How about this? Jesus Christ is praying for you. Just knowing that is phenomenal. Hebrews 7:24-25. But He, the Lord Jesus Christ, because He abides forever, holds His priesthood permanently. He is a royal priest, and He holds that permanently, and hence also He is able to save forever those who draw near to God through Him, because He always lives to make intercession for them. He lives to make intercession for you. Prayer from God the Holy Spirit, Romans 8:26-27. And in the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness. For we do not know how to pray as we should. But the Spirit Himself intercedes for us. He prays for us. God the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings too deep for words. And He, God the Father, who searches the hearts, knows what the thinking of the Spirit is, because He, the Holy Spirit, intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. When God the Holy Spirit prays, He's praying 100% according to the will of God. That's one of the reasons why most prayers don't go anywhere because the Christians aren't praying according to the will of God. But they don't know the will of God because the only way to know the will of God is to know the Word of God. The more you know the Word of God, then you'll know the will of God. And then you can pray according to the will of God. But He, the Holy Spirit, intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. So the Holy Spirit's praying for you. And then, third, prayer from believers, Hebrews 4:16. Let us, royal family of God, draw near with confidence to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and may find grace to help in times of need. Phenomenal promise and a mandate. Let us draw near with confidence. The only way you can do that to have confidence is to be living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, grow up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, and then you will have confidence. Let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and may find grace to help in time of need. And then point four, the approach of prayer. You don't pray to the Son. You don't pray to the Holy Spirit. Definitely don't pray to the Holy Ghost. There are no ghosts. All prayer is directed to God the Father. Directed toward God the Father. And the Lord Jesus Christ taught us this. Matthew 6, verse 9. Matthew 6:9, Jesus says, pray then in this way, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. You pray, all prayers are directed to the Father. Like I said, if you fulfill the mandates of living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, you'll have virtue love brought to completion in your heart. That's the best. That's the best. Once you have virtue love brought to completion in your heart, you have personal love for God the Father, the motivating virtue, and that will motivate you habitually, consistently to pray to the Father. Because you have personal love for God the Father, and you will want to pray every single day, consistently, habitually. Ephesians 3, the Apostle Paul makes this clear. Ephesians 3, verse 14. For this reason I kneel before the Father. Now you notice it's before the Father. That's the important thing. Kneeling is not important. If I kneel before the Father, it'll take block and tackle to get me up again. You don't have to kneel. My knees are shot every time. The deacons come in and they ask, or my sons come in and say, is there anything I can do for you? Pastor Olson, anything I can do for you, Dad? I says, yeah. Two new knees, two new shoulders. There's nothing we can do about the brain. What we got is what we got, you know. So I don't kneel when I pray. If I kneel, I'm down there for a long time. But the prayers go to the Father. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom His whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of His glorious riches, He may strengthen you with power through His Spirit in your inner man, so that Christ may make Himself at home in your hearts through faith, maximum Bible doctrine, actually epinosis, metabolized doctrine in the soul. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in virtue love brought to completion in your heart, may have power together with all the saints, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love for Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. For this reason I kneel before the Father. And then Ephesians 5:20. Always giving. See that word always? That is every day. That's habitual. That's consistency. Always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 1:17. Since you call on a Father, call in prayer. This is calling in prayer on the Father who judges each man's work impartially. All prayer must be directed to God the Father, not to Jesus Christ, not to the Holy Spirit. All prayer is directed to the Father. Point five is the agenda for private prayer. Agenda for private prayer. You need to know this. You need to have it down. There's four parts to your private prayer. You need to have this down, and this ought to be SOP, standard operating procedure, every day when you pray. It starts out, rebound, if necessary. First thing you have to do is make sure you're in fellowship with God, filled with the Spirit. If you're not, then the first thing in your private prayer is rebound. Psalm 66:18 says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear. He will not hear. So the very first thing is, if you have unconfessed sin in your life, rebound. You got to check and make sure that you're in fellowship with God, filled with the Spirit, that you're living the spiritual life. So first thing you check is rebound in order. If it is, then rebound. 1 John 1:9. Then, after that, thanksgiving. That should be second on your agenda. Thanksgiving. You know, as you grow up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, what are you growing up in? Grace orientation. What is grace orientation? Thanksgiving that you have for God. Gratitude toward God. And the more you grow up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, why, the second part of your agenda will get longer and longer and longer, because you have so many things to thank God for as you grow up in your spiritual life. 1 Thessalonians 5. Turn over to 1 Thessalonians 5. First Thessalonians 5:18. In everything, give thanks. This is thanks to God the Father in prayer. In everything, give thanks. Because this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. Now, we're supposed to pray according to the will of God. If you're not praying according to the will of God, your prayers are going nowhere. And this is the will of God for you. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. Turn over to Ephesians 5:20 already. Turn over to Colossians 4:2. Colossians 4:2. Colossians 4:2, devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving. And current turn over to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians 4, verse 6. Stop worrying about anything. Stop worrying about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, after thanksgiving. Notice, thanksgiving is number two. Rebound number one, if necessary, in your agenda. Number two in your agenda is thanksgiving. So stop worrying about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, after thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. So in your agenda for your private prayer life, first check out, make sure you're in no unconfessed sin in your life. If there is, rebound. Then thanksgiving. And as I said, that part of your prayer life will get greater and greater and greater. And then the third part, then after that, intercession. Intercession, Ephesians 6:18. Turn over to Ephesians 6. Intercession, Ephesians 6:18 to 20. And intercession is praying for others. It's praying for others. And we're right now in point five, the agenda for private prayer. Rebound. Check out to make sure there's no unconfessed sin. Then thanksgiving. And then after thanksgiving, then you have intercession, praying for others, and petition, praying for your own needs. But number three is intercession, praying for others. Ephesians 6, verse 18. And pray by the agency of the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. And pray also for me, communicator of Bible doctrine, that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly, as I should. That's a part of intercessory prayer. We're in point five, agenda for private prayer. Point six will be what is included in intercessory prayer. But then the fourth part of the agenda is petition. Hebrews 4:16, this is prayer for your own needs. So the agenda for your private prayer, you need to know this. Rebound if necessary, thanksgiving, then intercession, praying for others. Intercessory prayer, again, is an expression of impersonal love for all. If you grow up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, have virtue love brought to completion in your heart, your personal love for God the Father will motivate you to pray, and it will motivate you to have impersonal love for all, and that means that's the key to intercessory prayer. The key to intercessory prayer, to have impersonal love for all. And then, after that, petition. So point six, intercessory prayer. Once again, intercessory prayer becomes powerful and effective once you have virtue love brought to completion in your heart. That's the ultimate objective of why we're here. Then your personal love for God the Father will motivate impersonal love for all. Intercessory prayer includes Prayer for unbelievers. Pray for their salvation. Romans 10 verse 1. The Apostle Paul prayed for the Jewish people. He prayed for their salvation. Prayer for unknown believers. Colossians 1, 3 to 11. Romans 1, 8 to 10. You're praying for believers you know nothing about. You've never met them, you don't know them, but you pray for them. Many of the people on my prayer list, I've never known them. I don't know them. I don't know them at all, but I pray for them. Third, prayer for known believers. Ephesians 1, 15 to 23. Ephesians 3, 14 to 21. Believers that you know, you pray for. Fourth, prayer for... excuse me. Yeah, it's about blew my brains out. Ooh. I was talking to a fellow and he said, they're going to do an MRI on my brain. I go, ooh. Ooh. I said, you know, they did that on me one time. Did an MRI on my brain? When I came back, the doctor looked at me. He said, this is not good. I said, what's the matter? He says, it looks like a BB in a boxcar. I said, yeah, that's not good. Well, let's not do any more MRIs on the brain then. Pray for communicators of the Word of God. We saw that in Ephesians 6, 19 and 20. Turn over to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. The Apostle Paul says, yes, and I will continue to rejoice because I know that through your prayers for Paul and the help given by the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. Because of your prayer. Pray for the communicators of the Word of God. Fifth, prayer for those in authority. Pray for government authorities. Pray for the President. Pray for the Senate, the House of Representatives, the Supreme Court. Pray for those in authority. 1 Timothy 2. And when you pray for them, what are you praying for? Well, it kind of, see it here. I urge you, 1 Timothy 2, verse 1. I urge you then, first of all, that requests and prayers and intercession and thanksgiving be made for everyone, for kings, that's presidents, and all those in authority, government authorities. Why? That we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. In other words, what should pray that we continue to have the freedom to give the grace gospel wherever we go. And it's not a crime. You won't be arrested. That you have the freedom and the privilege to give the grace gospel of Jesus Christ all throughout America. And pray that you have the freedom to assemble in a local church to worship the living and true God, Jesus Christ, by studying the absolute truth of the Word of God. And that that's not a crime. And it's very, very close. There are the liberals and socialists in this country. They are saying God is a God of hate. That our living and true God is a God of hate. That the teaching of the truth of the Word of God is hate. And therefore, it's a crime. A hate crime. And they're already saying that. So it'll be just around the corner that... churches, sound doctrinal Bible teaching churches like Upland Bible Church. Well, the church will still be here, but they'll haul me out. No problem. Paul got thrown into prison. All great communicators have been. Peter got thrown into prison. In fact, they were going to kill him. They were going to kill Peter. Well, that's coming up in our... They were going to kill him, but the believers were assembling in prayer and praying that God would deliver Peter. And God did deliver Peter. He delivered him. He was going to be executed. He was delivered. And then he came to knock on the church where they were praying. And the servant girl, Rhoda, looked up. It's Peter! And they said, oh, you're out of your mind. He's going to be executed here in a short time. He kept knocking. No, it's Peter! It's Peter! See, they were praying. They didn't really believe God was going to answer the prayer. Are you ever in that category? You pray, but he's never going to answer this prayer. So he says, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is honorable and pleases God our Savior, who wants all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. So, intercessory prayer is for unbelievers, pray for their salvation. Unknown believers, known believers, communicators of the Word of God, pastor teachers, those in authority, government authority. And then sixth, prayer for those who persecute you and mistreat you. And again, the key to intercessory prayer is that you have virtue love brought to completion in your heart, because your personal love for God the Father will motivate impersonal love for all, including those who persecute you. Turn over to Luke 6. Luke 6. Luke 6, the Lord Jesus Christ is holding Bible class in Luke 6, verse 27. But I tell you who hear me, these hearing is positive volition, humility, responding. Love your enemies. That's impersonal love for all. Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. And pray for those who mistreat you. You can't do that. That's impossible. For most Christians, that'll never happen. Never, ever happen. Because they are not living the spiritual life. They're not growing up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. They have no virtue love brought to completion in their heart. That will never, ever happen. Instead, they will be full of mental attitude sins and sins of the tongue and malign and slander and judge and gossip, because they have no spiritual life. They're losers. They're reversionists. But for those who live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills and grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ and have virtue love brought to completion in your heart, well, you will have impersonal love for all. Now, I've been watching. Every morning I take about a half an hour to 45 minutes and I watch a Western. I like watching Westerns. They wear white hats, good guys. Black hats, bad guys. And I'm watching one. It's a long one. It's over 3 hours long, so I've only... Every day I watch about 30 minutes to 45. The good, the bad, and the ugly. Great movie. Good, the bad, and the ugly. You start out with an individual comes on, and he is the ugly.
then the next one comes on and he just shoots everybody. He's the bad. And then the good guy comes on. Clint Eastwood. The good guy. And you know he's the good guy. You know he was getting Bible doctrine from the colonel. You knew that. You all know that. He's as good as it gets. The good, the bad, and the ugly. When you have impersonal love for all, you can pray for the good, the bad, and the ugly. With no mental attitude sins, no sins of the tongue. This demands virtue love brought to completion in your hearts. Personal love for God the Father, which motivates impersonal love for all. Point 7, axioms of prayer. Axioms of prayer. First axiom, we're commanded to pray. It isn't an option. It's a mandate. We're commanded to pray. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Pray without ceasing. Now, without ceasing, that means habitual prayer. That means every day. That means consistent prayer. And when you're living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, when you have virtue love brought to completion in your heart, you want to pray. You want to pray every day. And usually more than once. Again and again. Pray without ceasing. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Secondly, only believers have the right of prayer. John 15:7. It says, if you abide in me, and that's a person who has placed his faith in Jesus Christ, but not only faith in Jesus Christ, but he is living the spiritual life, and my words abide in you, maximum metabolized doctrine in the heart, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. 3, the only prayer that unbelievers can offer is the prayer of salvation, faith in Jesus Christ. All other prayers of unbelievers are not heard. The only prayer that unbelievers can offer is the prayer of salvation, faith in Jesus Christ, and all other prayers of unbelievers are not heard. Turn over to Luke 18. Luke 18. And again, this is another Bible class Jesus Christ is holding. Luke 18. In fact, let's start at verse 9. To some who were confident of their own righteousness. That's self-righteousness. And these were the religious leaders of Jesus' day. This was the Pharisees. They were very self-righteous. They thought they were the cat's meow. They thought they were the greatest. They knew they were going to be in heaven, and almost all of them are in Hades right now and will be in hell for all eternity. To some who were confident of their own righteousness, self-righteousness, and they looked down. What is characteristic of self-righteousness? You look down on everybody else. You're the best, and everybody else is way down here. Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray. One, a Pharisee, full of self-righteousness, an unbeliever. Yet he thinks he's a great believer. And the other, a tax collector. And by the way, tax collectors in Jesus Christ's day were just about as accepted as they are today. Everybody hated tax collectors. The Pharisee stood up and prayed about himself. He prayed about himself. God, I thank you that I am not like other men. Robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all that I get. I am a good boy. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven. But he beat his chest and he said, God, have mercy to me, a sinner. Actually, the verb here is helaskomai. He is saying, be propitious to me, a sinner. I am a sinner. And the Messiah, Jesus Christ, paid the penalty for all my sins and satisfied your righteousness and justice. Jesus says, I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. 4. You must be in fellowship with God, filled with the Spirit, when you pray. All prayer must be by the agency of God the Holy Spirit. And we saw that in Ephesians 6:18. You also see it in Jude verse 20. Jude 20. And the only exception to this is the prayer of rebound or confession of sin, 1 John 1:9 or 1 Corinthians 11:31. 5, prayer is an extension of the faith rest life. When you're living the spiritual life by the spiritual skill, you also are living the faith rest life. You walk by faith and not by sight. That is the believer living the spiritual life. You walk by faith, the faith rest life, and not by sight. That's coming up in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. So prayer is an extension of the faith rest life, Matthew 21:22, and everything you ask in prayer, believing, faith rest function, you shall receive. The result of living the spiritual life is you are living the faith rest life. You're walking by faith and not by sight. 6, prayer must be offered according to the will of God to be effective, not contrary to the will of God. There are a lot of prayers being offered, but it's not the will of God at all. To know the will of God, you must know the Word of God. Effective prayer warriors have maximum metabolized doctrine in their hearts, and therefore they not only know God, they know the will of God. They know the plan of God. And when they pray according to the will of God. Now we already learned that God the Son, Jesus Christ, prays for us. God the Holy Spirit prays for us, and He prays for us according to the will of God. 7, the omniscience of God knew everything, every prayer that would be offered in time, and He incorporated all the answers before time began. The omniscience of God knew every prayer that would be offered in time, and He incorporated all the answers before time began. There's nothing before you were ever here. Before any of us were here, in eternity past, God knew every prayer you would offer. He knew the prayers you would offer today. And He already answered them in eternity past. It's already a done deal. Turn over to Jeremiah 33. Jeremiah 33, verse 3. Call to me in prayer. Call to me, this is prayer, and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know. Now I'll go over to Isaiah 65. Isaiah 65.
Isaiah 65, verse 24. Before they call in prayer, before they pray, I will answer while they are still speaking. I will hear. 8. Prayer has maximum effectiveness when the believer grows up, fulfills the mandate, the command, obeys the mandate to grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ and reaches spiritual maturity. That's when prayer has maximum effectiveness. You grow up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, you obey the mandate of God, you've advanced to spiritual maturity, and now your prayers are powerful, powerful and effective, like May Walker. Powerful and effective. Turn over to James 5:16. James 5:16. James 5:16, B, the second half. The prayer of a grace righteous believer, a spiritually mature believer, is powerful and effective. You grow up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, have virtue, love brought to completion in your heart, your prayer life, your prayers will be powerful and effective. Turn over to Psalm 116. Psalm 116. Psalm 116. Verses 1 and 2. Verse 1. I love the Lord. What is that? Occupation with Jesus Christ. What's that? Spiritual maturity. A spiritually mature believer. He loves the Lord his God with all his heart, soul, and strength. I love the Lord. Occupation with Christ. A spiritually mature believer. He hears my voice. This is prayer. He hears my prayer for mercy. Because he turned his ear to me, I will call on him as long as I live. Turn over to 1 Peter 3. 1 Peter 3. First Peter 3, verse 12. For the eyes of the Lord are on the grace righteous believer, the spiritually mature believer, and his ears are attentive to their prayer. He answers the prayer of the grace righteous, the spiritually mature believer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil, the reversionistic believer. And then again, the principle is given to us in John 15, by the Lord Jesus Christ, when he says in John 15:7, if you abide in me, that is, you are living the spiritual life, and my words abide in you, maximum metabolized doctrine in the heart, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given you. So prayer has maximum effectiveness when the believer attains spiritual maturity. Well, that's a part of the doctrine of prayer. And I don't know how long the Lord Jesus Christ has me to be here and feed you the Word of God. But I know one thing, I have absolute confidence when he says, Pastor Olson, get up here. One thing I'll know about Upland Bible Church is the fantastic prayer ministry of this church in the time that we've been here. It's absolutely been fantastic. But don't get sloppy. Don't get sloppy in your spiritual life. Prayer is fantastic. It's awesome. And you grow up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, have virtue, love brought to completion in your heart. Why? Your prayer life will be amazing. And there are a lot of people on that prayer list and over the years. And your prayers are powerful and effective and accomplish much. All right. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.